Good morning. I wanted to, my name is Pastor Jeffrey Morton of Israel Life Church. I wanted to come on here today and I wanted to bless, bless the hearers today. Yesterday, we had a service and for whatever reason, we had some technical difficulties. So I wanted to come on this morning and I wanted to give those who have an ear, I wanted you to hear what the Lord is saying to the church. So as you're coming on, if you're at home or if you're at work and you want to hear the word from the Lord that God gave us yesterday, and obviously being on here live, it's no telling what the Holy Spirit is going to do. But as you're jumping on and you have, I don't know, you're on your way to work or if you have time to hear from the Lord, God gave us, shared this word with us yesterday. But I wanted to give this word again because of the technical difficulties that we had for those who joins us online. So my prayer is that as you're coming on and as you hear the word of the Lord, for most of us, it will be familiar if you were in the house yesterday. But you know how it is when the Holy Spirit moves, that God is liable of doing whatever he wants. So I'm asking you, as you join on, you log on, give me a thumbs up, make sure that you can hear me, number one. Number two, share this thing. Somebody may not had the opportunity or got the opportunity to hear the word of God. And we know that we cannot survive, we cannot live on food, on bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. This word is so valuable to us. And so I want to give you this word. This message is titled Right Over Right. Right Over Right. Amen. I am going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. If you have a moment, I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 is simple. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the first gospel in the Bible, Matthew's gospel, and it's Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 to 25. So as you're jumping on, just share. I just want to give people this message who weren't able to tune in yesterday. It was been on my heart all night, and I just want to make sure our people are getting the word of God. I'm reading again the New American Standard Bible. What it reads here, it says, hallelujah. What it reads here, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, she was engaged to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us. Oh, God, I thank you. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. He called his name Jesus. Oh, I love it. Understand this. Showing grace, like just like forgiveness, is one of the hardest things to do. You know how hard it is to show somebody some grace. Just like forgiveness is. It's hard. It's one of the hardest things we can do as people, not just as believers, but as people. But when grace is displayed, God's very best is made. I said, when grace is displayed, God's very best is made. For the sake of this message, I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you why it's important to choose the eternal right over the immediate right. I want to talk to you about why it's important to choose the eternal right. You want to make the right decision, but the eternal right decision over the immediate right decision. Amen. I just want to make sure that you can hear me. Give me a thumbs up. We are live this morning, and I want to give people the word, hallelujah, that weren't able to get the word yesterday. And if you're on, come on, get a second dose of the word of God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. For Lord, though we know that this word, oh God, is cleansing, it's healing. It's the way we get saved. Lord, it is by your word. It is by your word, Lord, that you exalt higher than your own name. It is your word. And Lord, I pray that this word is a blessing to your hearers, that they are able to get through this week. They're able to get through their lifetime just because of this word. Lord, I pray that you bless us, you grace us with this word, that we will have a better understanding of what you're saying to us. Hide me behind your cross. Do what you want to do, God. We're live. And Lord, you are a living God. So we're grateful. Do what you want to do right now, at this moment, God. Have your way. Go off. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Love you, saints. The law. I said the law. What are you thinking about when you hear the law? The law. Rules. The order. It keeps things in under control, under subjection. It keeps things in order. It has rules. And we know that as a society, if the law is being broken, there is always a penalty to pay for breaking the law. There's always a consequence for laws being broken. And you have to abide by those laws, because if you don't, there's always a penalty to pay. And it's the same thing with the Bible. There are plenty of laws. There are plenty of laws, rules, there's order. But if that law is broken, then there is a penalty that we all have to pay. The only problem is, biblically speaking, the law has already been broken. We all have to pay it. I said we all have to pay it, even though we had nothing to do with the original sin, but we still have to pay it. It's a debt that we have to pay. We even have to pay for the sins, for the laws that we broke. Yeah, since we've been living, there has been things in your own body that you have broken the law. You have sinned. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have. But we know that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The penalty of it is death. That it is when we're separated from God, it is death. And this is what's already have taken place before we were living and while we have been living. The things you have been doing in private, the wages of that is death. The things that you have done in public, your transgressions, the wages of that is death. It is separation from God. And the consequence is death. There's no opportunity to appeal. There's no opportunity to change. There's nothing you can do once the law is broken. You have to pay. It's nothing you can do about that. This is the fate. This is your sentence. Hallelujah. It's nothing you can do about it. We all have to suffer this penalty. We all have to pay the stuff that you've done and the stuff that you didn't do. But grace is unmerited favor. It's undeserving pardon. Pardon. It means that your owe, the consequence is abolished. It's remitted. You don't have to pay it. It is essentially saving us from sin. This is grace. It's saving us from sin. And grace is much like forgiveness, because forgiveness forgets all the consequences. It forgives you. Grace is like that. The only thing is, unlike forgiveness, grace empowers you to change. I said that there is a changing agent in grace. It gives us the power. It is birthing something that is inside of us, grace, that changes our very nature, so that we're not only saved from the consequence, we're not only saved from sin, but we're empowered. We have the power that we're no longer subject to sin. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We are no longer subject to it. It's no longer our master. We don't have to be in a situation where we have to obey it. It has to submit to us. So we're not only saved from sin, but we are preserved for God. Because what he's doing is, by grace, there is something that is birthing in the inside of us that changes our very nature. Come on, somebody, talk to me. This is what the Lord is doing through grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that is out there that is hearing this now or may hear this later that has ever encountered, that has ever experienced what it's like to encounter grace? That the thing that I owe, I don't have to owe, and I'm empowered to not ever have to do it again. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that God did this for us. He paid the price for us. For the Bible says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him, whosoever would believe on him would not perish. You won't die. You will, if you believe on him, you don't owe it. But you will inherit eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this text, and I want you to stay with me in this text, we're reading Matthew's gospel of the birth of Jesus Christ. And understand this, there are two versions of the birth of Jesus Christ. One is in Luke, but it gives you more of the Mary narrative. We hear this during Christmas time. The Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus Christ is Joseph's narrative. And I don't know about you, but some of us feel like Joseph had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to show you that this man was extremely significant, just like you are super significant. And this gospel, it opens up with the genealogy of, from all the way tracking back from Abraham, and is showing you Abraham, because that part of the genealogy represented faith. It was the representation of faith. And then it shows you down 14 generations down to David. And David, in that particular part of the genealogy, is showing you royalty. Royal descent, royalty. And then it trickles down 14 generations to Joseph, where it's talking about the birthing of grace and truth. So now you're going from 14 generations, from 14 generations to now to this generation. We're talking about faith plus royalty equals grace. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you find yourself in a place where you could just have faith, you then are engrafted into royalty. But the birthing of it all, the power that comes from it all can only be derived, can only come through grace. It can only be birthed out of grace. And I love this story because as soon as it gets done with the genealogy, you feel like you're on the Maury Povich show. You feel like you're in a courtroom and the DNA tests come back. And as soon as the DNA test comes back, you hear Maury Povich yelling out, "You are not the father. You're not the father." And in some cases, you've seen, in some cases, the man jumping up and down, depending on the way the child was consummated, depending on how the child, hallelujah, was born. But in this case, Joseph is engaged to this woman. This is a problem. This is a major problem. This man is engaged to her, and they're under the law. And she's pregnant, and she's carrying somebody else's baby. Can you imagine? Can you imagine preparing yourself in your mind, in your heart, waiting your whole life to spend your whole life with this one person? And this one person betrays you. They embarrass you. They do the most unforgivable thing. The thing that makes your heart drop. Come on, somebody. The thing that, no way. The thing, the air that comes, it just takes the air out of you. It's embarrassing. Your heart drop. And I know what the vow says. I know what it says, but there are some things in your life, regardless of those vows, that you said, that if this happens in my life, if this happens in this situation, I'm done. Am I right? You said, if this happens, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not gonna just sit here and allow this to go on. I'm done. I know what the vow says, but I'm done. Is there anybody out there that has signed the contract? Or you signed a lease agreement. And you know what the lease agreement says. You know that in Article 5.1, it says that you can't breach your agreement for any reasons. But you didn't know that lease agreement, you had roaches. Or you had mice. Or you didn't know that this situation would happen, even though it's spelled out in the lease agreement. But you said, no, but if that happens, I'm done. Come on. I know that blood is thicker than water. I know that. I know that's your uncle. I know that's your cousin. I know that's your mama. I know that's your daddy. I know that's your sister. I know that's your brother. I know that blood is thicker than water. But there are some things in life that if they violate this, I'm done. Is there anybody? Because I didn't wait my whole life, hallelujah, to spend my whole life with someone or something that has betrayed me, that has violated my trust. What in the world am I going to do? What are my friends going to say? What is my family going to say? You know what your, listen, you know this conversation is going to come up. It's going to come up. Your family members are going to talk about you. Your friends are going to talk about you. Don't let this thing make it to social media. If it makes social media, my haters have something to hate on me about. And my life is over. Because I've been betrayed. I didn't even do nothing wrong. It wasn't even me. But I've been betrayed. And Joseph, in this story, he's in a conflict. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? He's conflicted. He's in a conflict. On one hand, he's a righteous man. The Bible says he's a just man and he is a devout follower of the law. The law of Moses is the Mosaic laws. And understand this, get this. And the Mosaic laws in Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 through 24, the violators of a crime such as this is supposed to be stoned to death. That is the penalty of the law. You break that law, you are to be stoned and killed. So on one hand, he's a devout man, and this is right. This is just. This is the right thing to do, to divorce her so that she will suffer the penalty. This is only right. But on the other end, he doesn't want her to go out like that. He doesn't want to disgrace her. He doesn't want her to go through that type of scrutiny. Webster Dictionary says the word disgrace means to shame. He doesn't want to shame her, even though he feels shame. He doesn't want to humiliate her, even though he feels humiliated. Is there anybody on here that knows what I'm talking about? He doesn't want her to feel what he's feeling. He doesn't want to expose her to the public scrutiny. And the right thing to do, the just thing to do, the right thing to do is divorce her. In this culture, they were in, to be engaged was almost like being married. It was kind of the pre-marriage. But the right thing is to do to divorce her. But he doesn't want her to endure the penalty of the law. Come on. How many of us have been in relationships where, or in a situation where you had to be right and you had to be right now? How many of us have been in relationships where you just had to be right now? Listen, if you're somebody that's married, you ought to know that in that marriage, most of the time, most of these marriages, most of the times, especially for the husbands, you wrong when you right, and you wrong when you wrong. You gotta learn to understand that's just the way it's gonna be. It's just the way it's gonna be. How many of us know that? How many of us men know that? Sometimes you just gotta eat it. Sometimes you gotta, but some of us, it doesn't matter how a person feels. I have to be right, and I gotta be right now. Some of us know that, and in relationships, when you have to be right now, that may cost you being in the doghouse for the night. That might cost you for being in the doghouse for a week. That may cost you for being in the doghouse for a year. Some of us, you have to be right now. You have to be so right that you're willing to lose the relationship altogether. Listen, there have been relationships, family members, family relationships. There have been relationships, marriages where the individual, you have to be right now to that your relationship would be over? Come on. Understand, you being right now doesn't change the situation. It doesn't convert. It doesn't resolve the situation because you want to be right now. It doesn't solve the issue. It doesn't make the situation better because you want to be right. All you're trying to do is edify yourself. You're not trying to solve the issue. You're not trying to get everybody on one accord. You just want the gratification. You just want to be edified. You just want the credit. You selfish. Come on. How many of us know that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient? Maybe it's not expedient, immediate to be right now. Maybe we need to learn to just pray at this moment so that the other person get it. Because at the end of the day, it's about an understanding. And in all thy getting, it's about getting an understanding, right? So that we can be on one accord. But most of us want to be right now and end it all and lose it all. One thing that I've learned is that the law and being right now, the law, it doesn't change behavior. The law. I know you are a law-abiding citizen. I know that you love the law of Moses. I know. But the law was not given to us to empower us. The law was given as a flashlight, and it flashlights on all of our dirt and all of our sin and all of our mistakes. It reminds us of how wicked, how sinful we are. That's all it, it doesn't empower us. It condemns us. And I know the Bible says that Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but I came to save it. Come on, somebody say by grace, by grace, by grace, by grace. Oh, he came to save it through grace. It is by grace that we are saved through grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is by grace we are saved by faith. Hallelujah. I remember me when I first gave my life to the Lord. I was on fire. And I'm sure that some of you all understand what it has been like. The first time you gave your heart to the Lord, it is amazing euphoria. Oh, it changes your world. And I was running out with my hair on fire, wanting, desiring that everybody got what I got from the Lord. True salvation, true freedom from sin, and being empowered by the Holy Spirit to keep the things that I liked, the things that was easily besetting me at bay. It was submitted to me, not me to it. And I got into a debate. Listen, I would go out, different religions, different organizations, I would go out and I had to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had to do it. I didn't care what you were. I don't care if you were Muslim. I don't care if you were agnostic. I don't care if you were atheist. I don't care if you was Buddhist. I don't care if you were Hindu. I don't care if you were Jehovah's Witness. It didn't matter. I went out and I had to preach the gospel, and I only knew about 4 or 5 scriptures. It didn't matter. I had to get the information out. But understand, I'm playing basketball with a bunch of gentlemen, and the basketball game was over. I got into a debate with a gentleman that was with the Jehovah Witness. And he and I were, it started off friendly and loving, but he and I got into a debate about the gospel. And he would say a few things, and before you know it, we started getting an audience, and they started saying, ooh. And I said a thing, and the crowd would say, oh, you getting them? And before you know it, we in a full-fledged debate. And by the end of it, I grabbed his Bible, the New World Translation, and I said, let me show you in your Bible that we ought to be witnesses of Jesus. And I showed him it, and the crowd went crazy. And I'm showing him the word in his own translation, but it doesn't convert him. The whole crowd is excited. The whole crowd becomes believers. But the individual that I was trying to convey and be right now with couldn't see it, was blinded by it, because I was edifying myself and I wasn't converting him with wisdom. I wasn't giving him the word with wisdom. I was giving him the word out of my own self-gain and my own self-edification. I needed to be validated. I needed to be right now. And so I learned that the law doesn't save. Do you hear what I'm saying to whomever is hearing the sound of my voice? The law doesn't save. Being right now, being just right, it doesn't save. The law doesn't save. It is by grace through faith that we are saved, and not in and of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It is truly a gift. It is by grace, not by the law. Come on. It is that thing. It's grace. Grace. It is that thing that is inside of you. That when all of your friends are telling you what that person did to you, you ought to sue them. You ought to cheat on them. You ought to report them. You ought to, come on somebody, you ought to burn their clothes up. I don't want to give you sisters no bad ideas. I ought to key his car up. Eye for an eye. I ought to get them back. I ought to cheat on them. It just happened to women. It happens to men too. I ought to cheat on her. I ought to get her back. I ought to sue her. I need to do something worse to her. But then there's something that is in the inside of you that is saying, no, I should do that. Even though that because they did that thing to you, it might be right to sue them. It might be right for an eye for an eye. It might be right to get them back. It might be just. It might be right. It may be the law. But then there's something that is inside of you that even though that you suffer because of what they've done, there is something that is in the inside of me that doesn't want to see them suffer the way that I'm suffering. Even though I would be just, I would be right to get you back. I would be right to call the cops on you. I would be right to do that thing that I'm thinking of doing. It might be just. But there is something that is in the inside of me that doesn't want you to suffer the same way that I'm suffering. Grace comes from a Hebrew word, chanan or chanan. It means undeserved favor. It's undeserved mercy. It's undeserved pardon. The Bible expresses it as it's more of a divine assistance. Can you imagine that grace is divine assistance towards mankind? It means that God's favor is that we would have salvation for us who actually deserve condemnation. That his favor, he loves us so much that he favors on us that we will have his salvation, even though that we deserve condemnation. Come on, somebody. And I love it because unlike forgiveness, grace actually changes your nature. Grace, it changes your nature because it births something that is in the inside of you. That now, it births something in the inside of you, and that nature of it is of God. Ha! Come on, somebody. Grace is, its nature is of God. And it's the only way you can birth something of God, has to come through grace. Come on. Grace gives an eternal birth to an internal change. Do you hear what I'm saying to you, saints? It gives an listen, grace, it gives an eternal birth, an eternal, forever. It gives an eternal birth to an internal change. Come on. So that means, unlike the law that just is a flashlight that doesn't apply, it just tells on us, grace empowers you. It empowers your nature. It changes your behavior. Come on, somebody. You start realizing the things you used to like, you don't like no more. You try to figure out why the things that you used to like or the things that you used to do, you don't do no more. It's because the grace has birthed something inside of you that now is empowered to rule over the things that at one time ruled over you. The things that used to keep you bound, it don't keep you bound no more. Why? Because of grace, it's changed your nature. The things that kept you trapped can't keep you trapped no more. I don't know who I'm talking to, but whatever you feel like you're feeling like you're trapped, grace. Hallelujah. Grace. His grace is sufficient for me, especially in my times of weakness. Hallelujah. This is where Christ is made strong. Hallelujah. It is grace. Grace has given an eternal birth to an internal change. Did you hear what I just said? Grace has given an eternal birth to an internal change. It's changed my nature. Grace. I thank God for grace, unmerited, undeserving favor, because I should be gone. I should be out of my mind. Listen, I should be in prison right now. I should be gone, out of my mind, losing my mind. I should be in the cemetery. I should have all kind of diseases, pestilence. I should be all jacked up. But it's because of God's grace that he saved me. I should have so many people running up on me, mad at me, because I owe them. I'm surprised. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that somebody hasn't chased me down or took me out. But it's been by his grace. It's by his grace that somebody loves me. It is by his grace that somebody calls me daddy. It's by his grace that somebody calls me a husband. It's by his grace that my mother gets to still look up on her son or call me her son. It's by grace that my brothers and sisters still have a sibling. It is by grace, hallelujah, that people are still in my life and can still learn and see where I've been and see how God have taken me to another level. It's all because of his grace, not something that I've earned or something that I did of myself, but it's been because of his unmerited love and favor for me by his grace. It's been by his grace. Come on, somebody. God cares about us so much that the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he loves us. It's by his grace. Come on. There are things that has gone on in our lives that we know about in private. That God's grace, he's covered you. He's buying you time. I thank God for giving, for buying me time, that he didn't expose my sins to the world, because as his grace is birthing the eternal birth that is inside of me for an internal change, and as that internal change is happening, that process is happening, he has covered me so that I am complete in him, and I am no longer ruled by sin, but sin is now ruled by me. Hallelujah. It is by his grace. Come on, somebody. By his grace. Put in the comments his grace. Put in the comments by his grace. Come on. I thank the Lord. Joseph in this Bible, he is in a conflict. The right thing to do is follow the law of the land. The right thing to do is to divorce her, that she may suffer the consequence. But then there's also a law that's in his heart that is also right. The dilemma. The right thing to do is to follow the law that and divorce her, that she may suffer the consequence. But there's also a law in his heart that's grace. That's also an option and a right thing to do. What do you do when you are in a dilemma? What do you do when you're in a conflict that is at this type of magnitude? And I'm telling you right now, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. I did some research, and in Live Science, there was a Life Science study. This article says that if we rest, that it's better to make a decision that is in an unconscious thought versus a conscious thought, because conscious thoughts usually leads us to a buyer's remorse. We make a decision too soon to later regret it. But when you rest, when you meditate, when you pray, when you rest in the Lord, you now put yourself in a position where your thoughts are more unconscious. And science says that you have a more positive idea and thought about it. You have more energy, and you're more positive thinking. You're more centered around the decision. In this case, in the Bible, Joseph is in a dream. Oh, I love it when I rest and I have dreams, because I know that I'm sleeping good. He's in a dream. And in the dream, the angel says, and I want to talk to somebody that's hearing the sound of my voice. The angel is telling you, it's okay to choose grace over the law. It's okay to have a contract with grace over the law. It's okay to submit to grace. I know it's painful. I know you've suffered, but it's okay, child. It's okay, daughter. It's okay, son, to choose grace over the law. I know what you went through is suffering, but it's okay, mother. It's okay, father, to choose grace. It's okay to marry. Grace. It's okay to marry grace over the law, because if you choose grace, if you submit to grace, inside of that is the greatest gift that God can give you. It's inside of grace. Inside of grace, if you give it grace, you would be birthing. You would sign off. You would be allowing the greatest gift that God could give if you sign off on grace. Oh. The Bible says that the angel told Joseph, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I know grace could feel shameful. If I do this, what will people say? What would people say? What would my family say? How will I feel? But the angel of the Lord said, don't be shameful. Don't be afraid to take on grace. Because the Bible says that she is birthing a son who is of the Holy Ghost, who is of the Holy Spirit. Mary is birthing a child that is of. She's not birthing something that is filled with. Hallelujah. She's not birthing something that is filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. If you choose grace, that thing will birth something that is of God. Not filled with God, but is of it. It is of the same essence. It is Him. Hallelujah. You are birthing Christ in that situation. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you give it grace, you will give birth to something that is of Christ. You're not going to give, come on somebody, you're not birthing something that is filled with it. No. You're going to give something that is of it. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you give it grace, you're going to birth Christ in that situation. You're going to birth the greatest gift that God can give you in that situation. You might be in a marriage. If you give it grace, I know you want to be right, and I know you want to be right now, but you got an opportunity to birth the greatest thing that God could offer you, Himself. You're birthing Christ in that circumstance. Maybe you're engaged. Maybe you're thinking about marrying somebody, but you're in a dilemma. You're in a conflict. And I'm here to tell you that God is sending me to tell you, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to choose grace, because it's grace that births the thing that is of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, I'm feeling this thing. Don't be afraid to choose grace. I know your cousin. I know your mama. I know your daddy. Oh, they hurt you and you've suffered for years. I know that circumstance, that divorce caused you to suffer for years. I know your cousin, the people, your best friend, they messed you over and it divided you. Huh. But if you, I know you want to be right now. But if you chose grace, you get the best thing. You get Christ, hallelujah, birthing in that situation. Don't you want Christ in that situation? And you have the power to allow Christ to be birthed because of grace. That's the only way we allow Christ into our situation. Christ cannot come in. Did you hear what I said? Christ cannot be birthed unless by through grace. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody that may want to get saved. You can't receive salvation except it be by grace. It's the only way Christ can come in. It's the only way Christ can enter in. It's the only way Christ can emerge. Who's out there that want Christ to emerge in their situation? Because he's of, not filled with. He's of the Holy Spirit. And aren't you thankful that in this particular text, the angel of the Lord, God does not need Joseph. He doesn't need him to birth Christ. He doesn't need his assistance. What God is doing in your life, he doesn't need your assistance. What he's building in your life, the wealth, the inheritance, the money that's coming your way, the prosperity that's coming your way, hallelujah, the generational curses that are being broken, how God is blessing you generation from generation from generation, that's coming your way, and that's coming your way by way of grace, hallelujah. Can you imagine now that inheritances are coming your way, properties are coming your way, money, you didn't even sow, it's coming your way. It's by way of grace, and God doesn't need your assistance. He just needs your permission. Hey God, hallelujah. He only needs your permission, because in the Bible, Joseph didn't consummate that marriage. He did not make the baby. Hallelujah. All he did was sign off on it. All he did, come on somebody. All he did was give God permission. All he did was give grace. And by giving grace, he adopted. He became the stepfather. He adopted. The greatest gift God can give. He inherited the greatest gift that God could give through grace. And he became Jesus' adopted father. Come on, somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there are some things, some inheritances that are coming your way. There are some adoptions that are coming your way. Come on. There are some things that are in your life that are coming your way. It's coming your way. And I know some of us are still suffering. But understand this. The Bible says, for his anger is but for a moment. But his favor, his grace, is for a lifetime. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night. But the joy comes in the morning. Come on. He's unlocking something in the inside of you. Grace is unlocking something in the inside of you. Grace is unlocking something in the inside of somebody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that a good man, and I'm paraphrasing, that a good man, hallelujah, stores up an inheritance for his children's children. But the Bible said that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. There are some things that if you would just give it grace, there are some other people out there that you don't even know. If you just gave them grace, they have already worked for what's for you. But God is waiting on you to give him permission for you to obtain what God has for you. If you would just sign off on grace. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine that it's crazy to think Joseph, it's crazy to think with Joseph that the emergence of Jesus Christ, that the emergence, that the, hallelujah, that Christ being born in grace, through grace, hinged on Joseph's decision to sign off on it? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone's life being saved, somebody's life being set free, being hinged on your decision to show them grace? Can you imagine that the reason why you haven't obtained what has always been in your heart? Some of you always knew in your heart you're supposed to be a millionaire. Some of you always knew in your heart you're supposed to be married happily. So, God, I thank you. I feel you now. There are some of you out there that believe that you're supposed to have properties and be lenders and not borrowers. It's something inside of you that always felt that, why am I suffering so much? I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail. Perhaps you're not able, you haven't allowed Christ to emerge because you haven't shown grace. And if you learn to show grace in every circumstance, you give God the permission to emerge, to be birthed in that situation. Come on, somebody, give me some love, give me glory, hallelujah, if you understand what I'm saying. But we're so caught up in wanting to be right now, follow the law, and not his grace. Joseph woke up from that dream. He took Mary as his wife. He adopted Christ, the child that is of the Holy Spirit. Not filled with it, of it. Oh God. God's greatest gift comes through grace. God's greatest gift, because it's a gift, comes through grace. And some of you all need a gift right now. You need a gift. You need a gift from God. And I'm prophesying over you right now. There are gifts being opened right now, being, hallelujah, being unwrapped right now in your life. I know you're mad and I know you're suffering. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Do you want Christ in that situation or not? Then you offer up grace so that Christ could be birthed in that circumstance. I want to take it a little further before I close, so that I can give some of you all some context to why Christ needed to come through grace. I just want to give you some context. Just give me 5 minutes. Jesus, hallelujah, can you imagine? Jesus is coming through grace. And Christ needed Joseph to sign off on it because Jesus was breaching the bloodline. Jesus was breaching the bloodline. And Jesus wanted to create a new covenant, a new agreement with mankind. He was taking the law and transitioning us, mankind, from the law to grace. He was transitioning from the law to grace. And he found a man, hallelujah, that was a man of law, but had grace inside of him. He was transitioning us from the law to grace. But Jesus needed to breach the bloodline. Oh, he needed to breach the bloodline, family, because the bloodline was corrupted. It was contaminated with sin. And Christ could not come in from sin. He had to come in, he had to enter in through grace. We learn this in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, it's not your fault. But Adam and Eve was tricked by the devil. And when they were tricked by the devil, hallelujah, we died. We died, and it was a separation from God. And it was just that we died because God made a decree, and he said that if you ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. That was God's word. That was the law. And man, hallelujah, I feel you now, Holy Spirit. And man was tricked, and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they died immediately, separation from God. But also, And it was right that we died. It was only right because we broke the law. But at that same moment, grace was birthed. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because as God is sanctioning off the penalties and the curses because of the breaking of the law, and I'm just contemporizing it, God puts a word out for the whole universe. He text messages. He puts it out on all social media for everything in the universe. Every star in the sky could hear it. And he told the enemy that your seed will crush the heel of her seed. And her seed, the woman, will crush the head of the serpent's seed. Essentially, that Jesus will crush the head of the enemy, the devil. But last I checked, a woman doesn't have a seed. Only a man has seed. Only a man can give a woman a seed. But God said no, that the woman would have a seed, because the Lord had to breach the blood covenant. He had to breach the corruptible seed. So he made an incorruptible seed that was stored up in the woman. So all of this time, the enemy thought he had tricked man, he had tricked God. But somebody write in the comments, the trick was on the enemy. Because when the Lord puts out that message to the whole universe, he had already foreseen in chronological order, he had already prophesied that there would be a woman that would have a seed. And this woman was the Virgin Mary, the chosen woman that had a seed. But it was also, hallelujah, poetic, because she was engaged to a man who had also a seed of grace. And hallelujah, and her seed, hallelujah, matched with his grace, allowed the seed to emerge through grace. Now, hallelujah, with the adoption, Jesus now comes through the lineage of David, which was prophesied, and now he is still both king and Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? Just because of the breach of the blood, he doesn't lose his kingship, which was prophesied. He is still king because of the line of David. Joseph was in the line of David. And because he's in the line of David, he adopts him into kingship, into royalty. But the blood has been breached. Now the blood is through grace. And God was able to accomplish this thing because of a decision that one man made. He didn't decide, hallelujah, he didn't decide to do what was right immediately. He decided to do what was right eternally. Come on, somebody. He didn't want to be right immediately. He wanted to be right eternally. And I'm here to tell somebody that I know that it's important for you to be right immediately. But then there's a better right, that you can be right eternally. Grace gives us a way that we can be right eternally. Why? Because it births the very thing that gives us life eternally. Eternal. I know it's important for you to be right now. But that thing doesn't resolve anything. If you want resolution, if you want salvation, if you want Christ to emerge, be right eternal. Come on, somebody. I want you to put this in the comments. Choose the eternal right over the immediate right. Choose the eternal right over the immediate right. Choose the eternal right over the immediate right. Because what you have inside of you, that feeling, it's eternal. And somebody's life, somebody's marriage, that next decision hinges on you making the right decision. Do you want that decision to be an immediate right or an eternal right? That choice is yours. The choice is yours. I want somebody to know this because I want to talk from my heart. This moment is yours. This moment right now is yours. Grace. It is by grace that situation will be saved. The only way Christ can be birthed, the only way you can get God's greatest gift, is through grace. I gave my church yesterday this homework, and I want to offer it to you. I want you to write down three things in your life that needs an eternal right. It needs an eternal right, not an immediate right, but an eternal right. I know it's important for you to be right now, but you have an opportunity to be right forever in this situation. Write down three things that, hallelujah, that needs your grace. Maybe it's the community. Maybe it's your mindset. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's while you're being single, while you're single. Maybe it's your heart. Maybe it's that person who did you wrong. I want you to write down three things privately. Maybe it's your fitness. Maybe it's taking care of your health that you need to write down, that you need to give grace. Because if you give it grace, Christ will emerge. The nature will change. The circumstance will change. The situation will change. And you will inherit. You will adopt the greatest gift. I'm so excited for all of you folks out there that are about to inherit the greatest gift that God can offer you. Just remember this. It can only come through grace. I love you all. I love you. Some of you all are givers. You can give. You can go to our website at israellife.com, or you can text to give. To give real to 73256. Give real, G-I-V-E-R-E-A-L, to 73256. You can give. But I want to thank God for you, to you all who are able to hear this word. I pray that it has blessed you. I pray that you have clarity in where God wants you to go. I love you. May heaven smile on you is my prayer. I want to pray with you real quick. And then I want to get out of here. Thank you for allowing me to do this. We had technical difficulties yesterday, but God put it on my heart. He's given me grace to share this again with those who weren't able to hear it. And as a reminder for those who were in the room, will you bow with me? Will you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you that we have an opportunity to stand, to kneel, to bow before you. It is truly a privilege and an honor to serve you, Father. And at this moment, God, there are somebody that is hearing the sound of my voice that is suffering, that is in a dilemma, that is conflicted. But I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them, whether audibly, non-verbally, or in a dream, that you would give them rest and give them comfort in your grace, because that's the only way you can emerge, is by grace. Father, I pray for those who are dealing with issues, that are suffering from different situations, what the doctor had said, or what an individual told them. Lord, no man is the final word. You give the final say. You give the final word. And Lord, your word says that you are a healer. Your word says that you are a way maker. Your word says that you are the Savior. And I pray that those who need your healing power right now, who need your saving, who need your protecting, who need your comfort, that you do those things right now, Father, as I touch and agree with your saints, that you be that way maker. Lord, we thank you because you are always a God of your word. You are the word. The Bible says in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. You are it. And we honor you and respect you, glorify you, and believe you. Have your way. And as we make our decisions, God, remind us to choose the eternal right over the immediate right. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And let all your saints say, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for tuning in, jumping on this thing with me. We're going to take the one that we did yesterday offline. So this would be the one that we will primarily use. But God bless you. I thank you. Love you. Thank you for tuning in. And please share this. Somebody is dealing with something. The world will be a better place if we gave them grace. And if we gave them grace, you're birthing the greatest thing that God can give. God bless you. I love you. See you real soon.